So now we will have our second class on the Ramayana. Yesterday we did chapter 1, and now chapter 2, the birth of Ram. Dasarath, his desire fulfilled, dwelt happily in Ayodhya, awaiting the birth of his sons. The brahmanas and kings who had assembled for the sacrifice left for their various abodes, sent on their way with kind words and gifts by the emperor. Four seasons passed. Then, at a time when favorable stars were visible in the heavens, Kaushalya gave birth to a son named Ram. Though Ram was the lord of creation, Kaushalya saw him simply as her own dear child. She held him tight to her bosom, overwhelmed with motherly affection, unable to recognize his divinity. Coming out of the delivery room, Kaushalya shone brilliantly with that baby boy who had eyes like lotus petals. Next, a son named Bharat was born from Kaikeyi, and from Sumitra, who had received two portions of ambrosia, were born twin sons, Lakshman and Shatrughna. All three boys resembled celestials, and they seemed to blaze with their splendor. In the heavens, Gandharvas, heavenly musicians, began to sing melodiously, while bevies of apsaras danced. Kettle drums resounded in the sky, and showers of flowers fell upon the earth. In Ayodhya, the streets quickly became crowded with rejoicing citizens. Minstrels, bards, and chanters of sacred hymns gathered in every quarter, glorifying the birth of Ram and his brothers. The city, decorated all over with colorful flags and garlands, looked very beautiful. King Dasharath, overwhelmed with happiness, gave a large heap of shining jewels to the Brahmins and arranged for a feast to be distributed throughout his kingdom. Vasishtha joyfully performed a name-giving ceremony and all the other rites of passage for the brothers. Of all the brothers, Ram was especially glorious. His attractive body had the hue of a celestial emerald. Dressed in the finest silk and adorned with golden ornaments, he captured the mind of all who saw him. Ram was devoted to his father's service. He took delight in the science of archery and quickly mastered the arts of horseback and elephant riding, as well as the various methods of driving a chariot. Lakshman was deeply attached to his elder brother Rama from his infancy. He was like a second self to Rama, and he pleased him in every way. Unless Lakshmana was present, Rama would neither sleep nor eat. Whenever Rama went out to the forest to hunt, Lakshmana would follow at his heels, guarding him on all sides. Shatrughna was dear to Bharat, and these two brothers were also inseparable. Dasharath felt as pleased with his four sons as Lord Brahma feels with the four gods presiding over the four quarters of the universe. Those princes were tigers among men, yet they were modest, wise, far-sighted, and glorious in every way. They were attached to their studies and soon became well-versed in all aspects of kingship. As the prince's studies neared completion, the king began to think about their marriages. One day, while lost in such thoughts, the powerful mystic Vishvamitra arrived at his palace. The sage instructed the gatekeepers, "Tell the king that Vishvamitra, the son of Gadi, is at his door." Upon seeing the lustrous Rishi, the gatekeepers were struck with awe. They ran to Dasharatha's quarters to inform him. Dasharatha quickly went with his ministers to greet the sage, even as Indra might greet Lord Brahma. As soon as he saw Vishvamitra standing at his door, the king respectfully brought him in, sat him down, and personally washed his feet. Standing with folded palms before the sage, Dasharatha was thrilled with joy as he spoke. "I consider your arrival here to be as welcome as the obtaining of a celestial nectar in one's own hands, or as a rainfall arrived in a desert, or as the birth of a child to a childless couple, or as the recovery of a lost treasure. What can I do for you today?" Dasharatha was aware of Vishvamitra's glory. The sage was famous all over the world for his performance of difficult austerities and his virtuous behavior. He was also well known for his almost limitless powers. Once, by his own ascetic power, he had created an entire constellation of planets which still shone in the southern sky. The king felt honored to see him and wondered what had brought him to Ayodhya. Sitting at Vishvamitra's feet, Dasharatha continued to address him. "You are worthy of my service in every way, and it is by great good fortune that you have called at my door. My night has ended in a splendid sunrise as I see here before me the best of Brahmin sages. Simply by seeing you, I have received a blessing equal to the results of visiting every place of pilgrimage. I wish now to perform some pleasing work for you, O noble sage, and you may consider it already completed. As a guest, you are as good as God to me, and I shall not hesitate to do anything you desire." Addressed in such a delightful way, Vishvamitra felt joy as he replied to Dasharatha, "Your speech has pleased me in every way, O tiger among kings. You are descended from proud ancestry and have been instructed by the godlike sage Vasishtha. Make a firm resolve to satisfy my desire and prove true to your promise, O virtuous one." Vishvamitra had walked for 3 days without eating or sleeping, his mind fixed on his purpose. His body was lean and powerful, golden colored, and covered by a black deerskin. He held in his hands a staff and a water pot. Those were his only possessions. He had come to ask something from Dasharatha, which he knew would be hard for the king to grant. The sage gazed steadfastly into Dasharatha's eyes as he spoke. I stand here this very day, consecrated for a sacrifice. However, two powerful Rakshasa demons named Maricha and Subahu constantly impede its performance. These demons are avowed enemies of both gods and humans. They are capable of roaming the skies and assuming any form they like. Every time my sacrifice is close to completion, these Rakshasas appear overhead and drop down volumes of flesh and blood, ruining it entirely. Thwarted in my attempts, I have left that sacrifice feeling dispirited, having accomplished nothing other than exertion. Dasarath listened intently as the sage spoke. He knew that Vishvamitra would not come to him. He would not have come to him, the emperor of the world, unless there was some difficult task at hand. The Rakshasas were dangerous beings who hated sages. The king knew that he had been increasingly disruptive, and this was now confirmed by Vishvamitra. Although capable of destroying those Rakshasas with a curse, O king, I will not do so, as a condition of my sacrifice, and that is I do not give way to anger. My mind must remain steady and controlled. Nor is it the sacred duty of Brahmanas to attack an enemy. This is always the duty of kings and warriors. Please, therefore, give to me your eldest and most heroic son, Ram. Although a youth, Ram is possessed of true prowess and is much more than a match for any Rakshasa. The king's mouth fell open. He gazed in horror at Vishvamitra. Was he serious? Send Rama? The prince was just a boy. He had never seen action on the battlefield. Of course, there was no doubting his bravery and prowess. But how could he face the Rakshasas? Those vicious beings knew every kind of sorcery. They could contend even with the gods. What chance would a youth like Ram stand against them? Seeing the king's reaction, Vishvamitra tried to reassure him. You need entertain no fear on Rama's account. Accompanied by me, he will proceed safely to the sacrificial arena. Immediately upon encountering those Rakshasas, who are overly proud of their strength, I am sure he will quickly dispatch them. Therefore, release Ram and let me remain with him for a period of but 10 days. Do not allow your parental affection to prevail. I shall confer upon Rama boons by which he will attain fame in all the worlds. I will then return him unharmed. O king, you should not have any doubt. Vishvamitra felt silent. He was aware of Ram's true identity. By his meditations, the sage could see in his heart the Supreme Lord, and he knew Ram to be that same person. Vishvamitra understood that the annihilation of the demons was a part of Rama's plan on earth. The sage was acting only as an instrument of the Lord's desire. Dasharath stood mortified, oblivious to the divinity of his young son. Overpowered by grief at the prospect of losing his young son, Rama, trembling all over. The king felt pained at heart and fell unconscious to the ground. Remaining senseless for some time, Dasharath finally came around and said to the sage, "My lotus-eyed son is less than 16 years old. How then can he fight with the Rakshasas? I myself, marching at the head of hundreds of thousands of highly trained soldiers, shall personally come to wage war on the demons. Do not take Ram." Dasharath sought desperately to change Vishwamitra's mind. For as long as he breathed, he said, he would stand with bow in hand and beat back any Rakshasas who came to attack Vishwamitra's sacrifice. The sage need have no doubt. Dasharath wailed piteously. The Rakshasas are given to treacherous fighting. The inexperienced Rama is still not fully trained. He is yet unable to estimate the strength or weakness of an enemy. Nor is he familiar with the use of the celestial weapons necessary for dispatching such powerful enemies as Rakshasas. Dasharath knelt before the sage. He looked at him, tears in his eyes. But seeing Vishwamitra's resolute expression, he took hold of his feet and implored him to relent. He tried to think of life without Rama. It was unimaginable. After such a long time and so much prayer, he had finally obtained a son worthy to succeed him. And such a son he was. It seemed that with each passing day, Rama endeared himself more to his elders with his virtuous behavior. Now he was just attaining maturity and could soon be installed as Prince Regent. How could he lose Rama now? Dasharath continued his plea. "Separated from Ram, I doubt I shall survive for even an hour. Please, do not take him. Or if you really must, then please also allow me to go with him. Taking my entire army, I shall station myself on the battlefield and ward off all the demons. Tell me all that you know about those Rakshasas, O sage, and I shall make every preparation." Vishwamitra then replied, "There is a Rakshasa named Ravan, to whom Lord Brahma has granted a boon of invulnerability. Possessed of extraordinary strength, and followed by numerous other Rakshasas, he has oppressed both heaven and earth to the utmost degree. When this mighty demon cannot himself be bothered to assail the sacrifices of sages, he sends out his two lieutenants, Maricha and Subahu." Hearing Ravana's name, the king became alarmed. He stood up suddenly. "Even the gods and Gandharvas, united with the entire heavenly host, cannot defeat that demon. How then shall I, a mere mortal, stand before him? What to speak of Ram? Lord Brahma has made Ravana unslayable. I, with all my troops, will prove incapable of overcoming Ravana, who deprives even the powerful fighters of their prowess on the battlefield." The king had heard numerous accounts of Ravana's exploits. Many years ago, the demon had slain Ananranya, his ancestor. The demon had defeated the gods and had once even fought and overcome the mighty Yamaraj. to confront him in battle was more or less suicide. The king clasped his hands together. How can I permit my gentle son to go out? Under no circumstances can I allow Rama to risk his life against Ravana. Rather, I shall go out myself with my army to protect your sacrifice, even if it means my death. But Rama shall remain here. Hearing Dasharatha's faltering speech, Viswamitra blazed up with anger. Did Dasharatha have no faith in him? How dare he refuse his request? Kings and warriors must always respect and obey Brahmanas, for that was the sacred law. And Dasharatha had already promised to satisfy him. The sage's eyes opened wide with fury as he spoke. After giving your solemn pledge to fulfill my desire, you now decline? This refusal shames your royal lineage and will bring ruin to your entire race. If you care not about this infamy, then I shall return the way I came. With your promise falsified, you remain peacefully among your relatives. Seeing Vishvamitra seized with fury, the gods themselves became fearful and the earth shook. The wise Vasishtha, perceiving the imminent danger from Vishvamitra's curse, spoke to the king. Born in the line of the sun god, you are like virtue personified. It does not befit you to abandon righteousness. You always remain firm in your vows, and you are famed as being fixed in truth. Summon your strength from within right now. If you fail to redeem your promise, you will lose all the merit that has accrued to you from the performance of pious acts. Send Rama with Vishvamitra. Whether or not Rama has mastered archery is of no consequence, as he will be protected by the sage. Vasishtha, who also knew Rama's divine plan, looked at the agonized king. He told him how Vishvamitra had inconceivable power and great learning. Formerly, while ruling over a kingdom, he had received from Lord Shiva the knowledge of every celestial weapon. He would undoubtedly give this knowledge to Ram. Although quite able to punish the Rakshasas himself, Vishvamitra had asked for Rama only to do good to the prince. Dasharatha still appeared doubtful. His hands shook as he folded them, imploring Vishvamitra to relent. Tears streamed from his eyes. Vasishtha then took the king aside and spoke in confidence. He told him of Rama's true identity. He also said that the arrival of Vishvamitra had been arranged by providence for the good of the world. The king should therefore have no fear in sending Rama with the sage. Dasharatha was astonished. To him, Rama was his beloved child in need of protection. How could he possibly be the Supreme Lord? Dasharatha looked at Vasishtha, who stood silently gazing into the king's eyes. The sage could not possibly tell a lie. Accepting the words of his preceptor, and feeling somewhat reassured, Dasharatha agreed to send his son with Vishvamitra, who permitted the king to send Lakshmana as well, for Dasharatha knew that Lakshmana would never let Ram go alone for a fight. Dasharatha personally called for his two sons and embraced them both. As his tearful wives watched, the king committed the boys to Vishvamitra's care. Render service to this sage as you would to myself. My dear sons, I shall pray for your safe return. Go now with my blessings. As they parted at the city gates, Vasishtha uttered benedictory hymns and prayers. Flowers rained from the sky. Loud blasts of conches and the beating of kettle drums resounded everywhere. Led by the smiling Vishvamitra, Ram and Lakshman went out from the kingdom, watched by their parents and the citizens until they disappeared into the distance.